Good evening, everyone. We're glad you're back for the evening service tonight, and we're thankful that we can worship the Lord together, and we're thankful that you're here with us. Let's begin by singing number 68, Holy, Holy, Holy. 68, if you have your songbooks. Open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you that you are holy and that you are only holy and you are pure and right altogether. And we're so thankful for your greatness. We ask you, Lord, to bless in our service tonight. Encourage our hearts, Lord, as we look into your word, as we sing your praise. May all redound unto the glory of Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to number 7 now. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. How we want to be closer to the Lord and more holy to him. Number 7.
Let thy goodness, like a
we'll go to 312, I Want to Be Faithful. 312, if you have your songbook there at home, 312. To the announcements, just a couple of things to remind us about. Of course, next Sunday we are going to be having our communion service after the evening morning service, and so remind you about that. If you can come by and pick up the communion cup there with the wafer in it and the juice, and also hermetically sealed, so come on out and pick that up. It's in front of the high school building in the file cabinet. Also, if you have stuff at home, you certainly can use that for yourself and don't have to come out if that is more convenient to you. So those things are coming up. And then remember, next Sunday also, we're going to begin our revival services with Brother Schwanke. We're looking forward to that. He'll be preaching Sunday school, so we'll have an early service there for that before the normal 11 o'clock. So we'll come on, I guess, 9:45, 10 o'clock, like we normally do, something like that. And then we will have the 11 o'clock service, and then, of course, the 6 o'clock service. And then we'll be preaching Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night at 7. So we look forward to having those meetings there with Brother Schwanke. And again, remind everybody about the offerings. I'm told it is you can give there right on the screen. There's a link that you can hit and give there, or you can, of course, send it in, or you can bring it by and drop it off. Whatever you want to do is fine. And so those are the announcements that we have. All right, let's go now to our final song there for this evening. I'm resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. That's number 391 if you have your songbook.
Of life, I will hasten.
right, and now before we have our evening message, Brother Stephen and Daniel Greathouse will come and play a special number there on their instruments. They'll be playing In the Garden. Thank you, gentlemen, for that. That was wonderful. We really enjoyed that. That is a precious song and a great message, and we just thank you for playing that for us tonight. Now let's take our Bibles and we will turn over to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, and we'll be looking at the whole chapter again tonight, verses 1 to 18. Exodus 31, and this is the final chapter here of the instructions, of the initial set of instructions of concerning the law. And so Exodus chapter 31 and beginning at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I behold, I have given him Aholiab, the son of Amishak, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and its furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, and all his furniture, and the laver with his foot, and the cloths of the service, and the holy garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments of the sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbaths thereof, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Now, while the day of worship has changed, the basic purpose of that day has not. God set aside 1 day a week for man to remember his work of creation. This work gave us life and the opportunity to choose fellowship with God. But man chose sin, and sin passed on all men, for that all have sinned. And so God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die and pay the penalty for our sin, and then arise again from the dead to give us eternal life. Now we commemorate the day of resurrection that restores us to fellowship with God. Now we, who are not yet glorified, are reminded weekly of what God has done. We who desire salvation desire to live in fellowship with God. Therefore, we must live holy. And so, the first thing that we see in this passage is this thought. God made some men skilled for service. Through God's enablement, God's people are able to serve him. And this is a wonderful truth. It is not our own native abilities that enable us to serve the Lord. It is the Lord's blessing that helps us. And we notice in verse 2 that it was God who chose the particular servants for the particular jobs. Now, there seems to be no real rhyme or reason as to why God chose these men. He chose a man from Judah. He chose a man from Dan. And he chose others. And it doesn't even tell us their names, but God chose these ones, and all these ones that God chose were the servants of the Lord. It was, in fact, these folks that God wanted to go out and serve the Lord. And God still does the same thing. He distributes unto us severally the gifts of the Spirit as he wills, so that we are enabled to serve the Lord as God wills. And this is God's choice, and so we need to recognize that and just go ahead and serve the Lord with the gifts and the skills that he gives us. And God gave to these men different abilities. Notice there that to Bezalel, he gave him wisdom and he gave him ability in all manner of workmanship and to do all kinds of things and work in all manner of things. And it seems that to him was given the responsibility primarily of the oversight and understanding of what everyone was doing in all the different crafts so as to do the work of the Lord. And then he gave to Aholiab some different skills there in verse 6. I have given unto him this one, Aholiab, the tribe of Dan. And again, it seems he is gifted with these skills and able to do things and maybe to administer and to help and doing the work of the Lord. And then in the last part of verse 6, he says, to all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom. And so God gave to those who have certain natural abilities the wisdom and ability to do what God's called you to do. So while God puts within us special skills and abilities, he also uses those natural abilities and skills that seem to develop to us. There's a good reason why you as a person can do certain things and it just seems to come easy to you, whereas to other people it is very difficult. Some people have no trouble standing up and talking to an audience, and they just find it easy to do. And other people get so tongue-tied, they can't get a word in edgewise. And so, you know, there's differences in skills and abilities. Some people just understand how a motor works, and it just makes sense to them, and they just grasp it and can fix it and do those sorts of things. And other people are just utterly baffled. Some people are great at English. Some people can't do English to save their life. But whatever the case is, you know, God gives us those natural abilities, and it was He who gave them to us, and we're to use those abilities for the Lord. And then you notice there at the end of the section, He stresses again that they are to follow His commandments. They are to do exactly what the Lord commanded. God expects His servants, in doing the work of the Lord, to do it in the way that God has commanded. God gives us words of wisdom. He tells us how to do things, but He wants us to follow His word. We need to do things the way God has told us to do it. It is God's choice through the foolishness of preaching to reach the world. Now, I understand there's probably a whole lot of better ways of doing it. And there's a whole lot of better methodologies which would probably be far more effective in reaching people for Christ. But it is through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to reach our world. And so we have to go ahead and just follow the methodologies that the Lord has laid out for us. Now, we notice here that in the case of Bezalel, God placed in him the Spirit of God. Now, I have no doubt but that this is the Holy Spirit who is placed in him. Now, people in the Old Testament had the Spirit of God come upon them for service, and then He would leave them, which is why David prayed, "Lord, take not thy Spirit away from me." Christians today have the Spirit of God given to us at salvation, and the Spirit of God says He doesn't leave us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is not any of His. In other words, we don't have a relationship with God. So the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts today. And so Christians today have that very same Spirit placed in us that was placed in Bezalel. We have that same Spirit of God. He is a Spirit of wisdom. He is a Spirit of understanding. He is a Spirit of knowledge and of all kinds of skills. He is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He created all of these things. He understands how all things work together. And He understands the mind of God, the will of God. He knows exactly the end from the beginning. And that Spirit is placed within us, which is why it is so critical and so important that we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is utterly essential that if we are going to be a holy people who are living righteously for God and reflecting the Lord in our worship, then we are going to have to be a people who are listening to the Spirit of God, who are following His directions and doing what He wills. But then He also gives us some Sabbath signs here in this passage, in verses 12 down through verse 17. The Sabbath speaks to the fact that people who are made holy are looking for an eternal rest. Man originally was created, and we were placed in the Garden of Eden, and it was a wonderful place. It was a place of full, where every need was met, where you didn't have to worry about anything, where everything was wonderful, it was glorious, and there was only one rule, and yet we managed to mess it up. And so it just tells you what kind of people we are. God, you know, understands. We like to think of ourselves as being, you know, good and holy and made right and all of that. But the truth is, we can mess things up if there's only one. In the state of Kansas, there was only two cars when cars originally were coming out. Strangely enough, those two guys managed to run into each other and crash. So, you know, people just, doesn't matter, you know, what the situation is. Man's going to mess it up. Well, here was the situation. And so God has given us this Sabbath day, even though He finished His 6 days of work, and God, of course, was not weary. He wasn't tired. He wasn't wore out and all those kind of things. But it was given to us for man's sake. Man does get tired. When we work hard throughout the week, we get tired, and we need a day of rest, and we need a day to come away and come apart and to be refreshed. And that rest speaks to us of that eternal rest. For God placed man in the garden, and He gave him a test. Man was being tested. Will you do right or will you not? Will you choose me or will you reject me? There was going to be a day when that test would be over. And that promise was given to man through that Sabbath day, saying that there would be a day when man's testing will be done. That is still the case. We are still given a test of God. Will we serve the Lord? Will we live godly? But there is a promise of a Sabbath of rest when the testing will be done, when his servants shall serve him. Not that they might serve him, not that they want to serve him, not that we will strive to serve him, but that they shall serve him. And so what a glorious blessing we have in this Sabbath day. The Sabbath was a sign so that they would know this fact, that I am the Lord who makes you holy. You see, we need to come to understand that it is only God who can make us holy. Many times people will strive to be right, and they will work, and they will labor, and they will do their best, and they'll put forth their best effort, and they, you know, do everything they can to be the right kind of Christian and live for the Lord, and they fail. And it's discouraging when you fail. And you say, why? Well, you know what? The armor of flesh is always going to fail. The glorious thing we need to understand is underneath are the everlasting arms. We need to recognize that God is there. We need to trust the Lord. We need to depend on the Lord. And we need to recognize that it is God who is the one who is going to make us holy. It is he who has forgiven us our sins. It is he who has imputed to us the righteousness of Christ. And it is he who is ultimately going to glorify us. And thus we are to depend upon God to help us in the midst of these struggles so that we can be the holy people of the Lord. The Sabbath is to God a holy day. It is a day that is holy to the Lord. It is something that is important that we take a day to set aside and rest. And I should mention that, you know, we have changed that day. The Sabbath was originally Saturday, and that was the day that they were to rest on that day. 6 days God made creation, the seventh day being Saturday, God rested. Well, on Sunday, we now worship the Lord, and we've turned that away. Why did we do that? Because this is the day of the Lord's resurrection. This is the day when we remember Christ's resurrection coming back to God. And so while the Sabbath reminded us of the creation and ultimately of that day of rest, even better is Sunday, which shows us of that eternal rest that we have in Christ Jesus, who has brought it to us. And that's why we have changed the day, because we are celebrating the day of the Lord's resurrection. But even on in this Christian age, while, you know, Apostle Paul tells us not to judge one another on Sabbaths and new moons and all of those kinds of things, and we're not under the same rules and regulations that the nation of Israel was under. We do, I think, have a principle there from creation that there ought to be a day when you take off and rest a little. There ought to be a day when we focus upon the Lord, where we can move away from the activities of the week and just focus upon the Lord a little bit and rest and just have a time of coming together with God's people and fellowshipping with God's people. And certainly that, I think, is a wonderful goal and an admonition that we all ought to have. It is a day holy to the Lord. Do we set aside a day that is holy to the Lord? We ought to do that, I believe. And then the Sabbath is a day of celebration to God. You know, as we come together to worship the Lord, it ought not be a time of drudgery. It ought to be a time of blessing and encouragement. You know, you could be out there working. I heard some guy yesterday talking about the fact that, you know, whenever he feels bad about, you know, working as a radio talk show person, he remembers back to the day when he was a roofer and had to carry 90-pound sacks of, shingles up a three-story ladder. You know, things could be a whole lot worse. You know, you could be working rather than sitting here in the pews and listening to the pastor and hearing the word of God. And so we ought to be excited to come out and to worship the Lord. Let us come to his presence with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. You know, if you come into church and you say to yourself, well, this place is boring. Maybe it's boring because you didn't come in with any praise. Maybe it's boring because you didn't come in with joy in your heart to the Lord. You know, we need to come in ready to worship, praising the Lord, exalting God, excited about the things of the Lord. And the Sabbath is also set apart from the normal toils of life. And the Bible tells us 6 days we can work. We don't have to work all 6 days. You don't have to work from sunup to sundown for 6 days during the week. You can, you know, break it up a little if you want to. But you got 6 days to do your work. 6 days to get everything done. One day you're to take off and take a little bit of rest and break from that toil and break from that difficulty and take some time to just be resting with the Lord. The Sabbath also recalls God's creation. It's a reminder of what God has done. God has made the heavens and the earth. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. How foolish are we to think that we are the creators of ourselves. And yet so many in our world believe that they are the makers, that time and infinite possibility somehow resulted in the impossible becoming possible and they being created out of the things which do remain. No, we were made from the Word of God. God spoke and we were created. And we ought to remember the beautiful things that God has done. And then the Sabbath focuses us toward the time of eternal rest and refreshment. It is good to be reminded week by week that this is not the end. Yes, we may go through the week and there may have been a lot of battles and it may have been tough and it may have been hard and it may have been difficult and you may feel like you're defeated and beat down, but this is not the end. There is a day of rest. There is a day of refreshment. You know, one of the things it says there in the book of Revelation is when we come into heaven, God shall wipe away all tears. The hearts are going to be refreshed. Yes, we'll carry those memories with us and those difficulties and those problems and all of those things with us into heaven. And we will weep before the Lord on that day because of the sin that so easily beset us and how we failed and all of those things. And God says He'll wipe that away. And those tears will be gone. And we will have those difficulties no more. There will be a time of refreshment. And so what a blessing that there is a day of rest. There is a day of refreshment. We as God's people are to live holy. We are to set aside a day to worship the Lord. To set aside a time to be different and to be holy to the Lord. But then the last thing that we see in this passage regarding living holy is the stone covenant. In verse 18, we see here that God gave to Moses the law. And so God spoke this law to Moses, but God also, in this instance, wrote it down for him. He wrote down the tablets of the Ten Commandments. So while the doctrine of inspiration teaches us that God so moved upon the hearts of people that what they wrote down was in fact the very Word of God, in some places God actually did just dictate what He wanted written. And in some places God actually did write it down. And so God wrote it down. So we know that these are in fact the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that teaches us how to live. And the wonderful blessing is that you have the Word of God in your own language. And as Americans, you not only have the Word of God in your own language in one translation, you can pick up the Word of God in your own language in probably 50 different translations. I have no idea how many there really are. There's a lot of translations out there. And you can get these. They're cheap. They're easy to get a hold of, especially now with everything online. And you can get all these different translations and compare and try to understand what God's saying. You can get literal type translations where they just translate directly from Greek or Hebrew on almost, you know, in a word for word way and in such a sense that, you know, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to you. But yet they do it. You can get interlinears where they show you the Greek and Hebrew word and then they give you the English translation. I mean, there's all kinds of help that's out there that's available to you today to understand and to know the Word of God. And even if you can't understand Hebrew and Greek and can't learn that, you know, you can certainly read the Word of God in your own language and in your own tongue, and you can understand what God says. And it is there for us to know. And so the Bible is the very Word of God. You can believe and trust your Bible that God's Word is kept for us. He promised that it would not pass away, that He would keep it. And so you can be confident as you read your Bible that you have what God wants you to have. Now, you have to compare Scripture with Scripture. You have to be careful that you just don't read into it what you want it to say, but that you let God speak and you let God's Word be what God says. But God's Word is in your hand. And this book that we have is our rule book for living. It tells us how we're to live, what we're to do, and what way are we to treat one another, how we're to get along in our families, how we're to get along in the church, how we're to reach out into the world, how we're to have our mind and our heart set, how we're to have every aspect of our life controlled. God has laid these things out for us, and it is a wonderful, glorious life. We have a covenant far better than they had. They had a stone covenant. We have a covenant that is written on our own hearts. The Word of God written in our own minds and in our own hearts. And so as the people of God today, we have great help to live godly that they did not have. They had, you know, the tabernacle there. They had the presence of God there with them. But they did not always have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. We do. We have the Spirit of God within us, and we have a day of refreshment and rest and focus on the Lord, and we have the very full, completed Bible before us, the Word of God. So we have great advantage over they. And while they were required to live holy, how much more are we going to be required to live holy? God wants His people to be a holy people, to be a people who live apart from the way this world lives, to be a people of righteousness. So I encourage you, live for God, live for the Lord. Let your life be a holy life. Let it be a life that is set apart to the Lord for His service. And this is how God would have us live. I hope you've had a great and blessed Easter. I hope you have a wonderful week as we go forward. And so we're going to close now in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we've had today to gather together and to fellowship together. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's able to be with us. We thank you for the opportunity of serving you. We pray, Lord, you'll help us as we go out this week to live a godly and holy life, that we might be the examples that you've called us to be, that we might call people to salvation and see people coming to Christ. And so, Lord, continue to work in hearts. Have your will and way, and we thank you for what you're doing. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks, and I hope you have a great week.